please turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 17. Now, as you're turning there, I want to ask a question. I want to start a phrase, and I want you to finish it with me. We're going to do it a couple of times because I really want to drive this point home. Okay, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Are you ready? Christmas is all about... Okay, let's do it again. Christmas is all about Jesus. That's exactly right. It's all about Jesus. So, in thinking about Christmas, I want us to see what it's not, okay? Because we've really messed this Christmas thing up. Every year, there is one item that is at the top of the list of every child, a must-have, and the parents do all they can to find said item or said toy. Now, last year, the toy was called a Hatchimal. A Hatchimal. From what I can gather, children would open a present to find an oversized egg inside a clear box. Somehow you would activate the egg and the animal of sorts would hatch out of an eggshell and the child would play with said toy forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. The child was always satisfied, never bad again, always good, and it was just a wonderful utopia because this child received this toy. Right? Yeah, okay. This year, the toy to have is called a fingerling. The toy wraps around your finger, any one of the fingers you want to put it on, and it turns around and it looks at you. That is the toy to have. It comes in a variety of different animals. The retail price for this highly sought-after toy is $9.99 in stores. But you cannot find this toy in stores, but you can find it on eBay for up to $300. Now, I'll never forget the Christmas of 1983, and the stores, people fighting over what was called a Cabbage Patch doll, or in 1996 and the Tickle Me Elmo dolls. How about the 1985 Teddy Ruxpin Bear that talked? Or in 1998, the Furby craze. How about in 2006, not too long ago, the Nintendo Wii? Now, church, there is nothing that says Christmas like consumers fighting and paying, running up credit cards to make a child who has everything already happy for a few days before they never play with a toy again. Shh, now listen. We as Christians tell ourselves that Christmas is all about... all about Jesus. We even get mad when we see sales papers and coffee cups that say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. That just enrages us as Christians. How dare they? But do we do anything to promote the real meaning of Christmas any better? Now listen, we get mad, don't we? Remember last year, everybody was all in outrage over that crazy coffee company that y'all go and spend $12 on a cup of coffee. Y'all are crazy. Somebody says it's not that expensive. $5? $4.99 for a cup of coffee? I pay 33¢ for mine. I mean, come on. But we get mad. Last year we got mad. But we do what do we do that promotes the real meaning of Christmas any better? If Christmas is all about Jesus, then what are we doing during this time to make Him known? What are you doing? I'm a Christian. I love Christian. I get mad when I see the sales papers and the coffee cups. But what are you doing to make Christmas known? What can we do to make Jesus known? Can we? Can we do anything to make him known? Mahatma Gandhi is famously known for saying many things. And one of the things that he is most famous for saying is this: I will become a Christian when I see one. Ouch. I'll become a Christian when I see one. Another one of his sayings is this: your Jesus I could come to love, your Christians never. If Christianity is the largest religious group in the world, then why are we Christians invisible? Why can't we be seen? Why aren't we making Jesus known? If Christmas is all about Jesus, what are you doing to make him known? This morning I want to tell you a short story on how God used an ordinary man. He was a man of God, but he used an ordinary man so that a pagan woman and her son could see him. This is a story about Christmas because God was made known. Look at 1 Kings chapter 17. Now Elijah the Tishbite from the Gilead settlers said to Ahab, "As the Lord God Israel lives, I stand before him, and there will be no dew or rain during these years except by my command." Then a revelation from the Lord came to him. "Leave here, turn eastward, and hide yourself in the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. You are to drink from the Wadi. I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he did what the Lord commanded. Elijah left and lived by the Wadi Cherith, where it enters the Jordan. The ravens kept bringing him bread and meat in the morning and the evening, and he drank from the Wadi. After a while, the Wadi dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him: "Get up and go to Zarephath, that belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Look, I have commanded a woman who is a widow to provide for you there." So Elijah got up and went to Zarephath. When he arrived at the city, there was a widow woman gathering wood. Elijah called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup and let me drink." As she went to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God," is that our God? "As the Lord your God lives, I don't have anything baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in the jug. Just now I am gathering a couple of sticks in order to go prepare it for myself and my son so that we can eat and die." She was faithless. Then Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do as I have said, only make me a small loaf from it and bring it to me. Afterwards, you may make some for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says: the flour jar will not become empty and the oil jug will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain to the surface of the land." So she proceeded to do according to the word of Elijah. She and he and her household ate for many days. The flour jar did not become empty, and the oil jug did not run dry, according to the word of the Lord he had spoken through Elijah. Do you know what was done there that day? The Lord was made known. Now, Elijah was told to go where he was to go. Right? Did he listen? Yes, he listened. And because he listened, his name was known. Well, by who? By that household. He went and did exactly what God told him to do, and his name was made known. This is Christmas. I understand. Oh, Brother Kyle, I've read that scripture many times, and I've never understood. I don't see any Christmas trees or Christmas bells, and I don't see, you know, any crazed consumers. I don't see Christmas. It's Christmas. We are to make Jesus known. We are to be making God known. That's why we're alive. That's why we're still here. Listen to me. If you're not making God known, there's no reason for you to be here. None. I don't know why there's not going to be a mass funeral sometime tomorrow or the next day for those who have not made him known, because you're not doing what God has called you to do. We are all here, every single one of us. Well, I'm not a preacher. Listen, God didn't call all of us to be preachers, but he called all of us to make him known. Every single one of us. Don't you dare take on the name of Christian without taking on the responsibility of making his name known. You can't do it. You can't separate the two. Well, Brother Kyle, how can I? What can I do? What can I do at Christmas time to make him known? People are crazy. You're exactly right. First thing I want to tell you is this. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to the Holy Spirit of God. He will tell you what you need to do to make him known. Case in point. 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in my office. Deborah had just come in, and she had given, "Hey, Deborah, I didn't think you were going to be in here. You snuck in here, you devil." She knows what's getting ready to happen. I'm sitting in my office, and I have my paycheck in my hand, and the Holy Spirit says, "Go to the bank." Well, I wasn't smart alecky to the Holy Spirit, but I was like, I was getting ready to go to the bank anyway. Okay, this is an easy one. As I'm going to the bank, he says, "Take $100 out of your check." And I was like, well, things are kind of tight. It's Christmas time. He said, "Take $100 out of your check." I said, okay. So I got a $100 bill, and as I'm in the bank, he says, "Go to Walmart." I said, okay. I have an idea what he's getting ready to tell me to do. So as I'm pulling into Walmart, I feel like I'm supposed to go to layaway. So y'all know where layaway is. I go to the very back of the store, sit in layaway. I go and sit in layaway. And in my mind, you know how we do, we get ahead of the Holy Spirit. I'm thinking, okay, I'm looking for somebody who's coming in to pay for their Christmas, and I Holy Spirit's going to do something. Okay. So I'm sitting there, and I wait for about 10 minutes. And as I'm waiting, I don't see anything. I don't feel anything. I don't hear the Holy Spirit talking to me. And the sales associate back there, she looks at me, and she says, "Sir, can I help you? Like, you know, what are you doing back here, buddy? You know, you're not going to the bathroom. You're not buying anything. You're just sitting here." And I said, "Is this the layaway?" And she said, "It used to be, but layaway for Christmas is out of the garden center." I said, "Okay, well, thank you. So I get up and I start walking to the garden center. And I'm thinking, okay, am I going to find somebody between here and the garden center to do what I'm supposed to do? And I looked and couldn't find anybody. So I take about 10 steps into the garden center and I pass this woman. And she's got a buggy and she's got boxes and, you know, stuff inside the boxes. And the Holy Spirit said, "Boom, hey." So I turned around and I said, "Ma'am, excuse me." I said, "Did you just get some stuff out of layaway?" She said, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, I'm supposed to talk to you." And she looked at me like, "Whoa." And I touched her on her shoulder, and she kind of jumped back. She kind of flinched. I said, "No, don't be worried." I said, "Listen, I was sent here to tell you that Jesus loves you and to have a Merry Christmas." And I turned around and I walked out. I never looked back. Now, I'm not telling you this for a pat on my shoulder and a pat on my back, because I'm nothing. I'm a nobody. All I was obedient. If you want to praise me for being anything, just praise me for being obedient. It was God's money. It wasn't my money anyway. Amen? So what is the story? What's the end of the story? I don't know. But I know this. I was obedient to what God told me to do. 100%. And for the rest of that woman's life, every time she walks into that Walmart, she'll remember that. Every Christmas, she'll remember that. She'll go out and tell people what happened to her. And all I did was be obedient. Listen, what did I do? I made Christmas known. That's what Christmas is all about, making Jesus known. So I come back and I sit in my office. And I said, "Okay, Lord. Okay, I feel good about myself. What is it that you want me to do?" And I'm sitting there with Ms. Dorcas thinking, he's going to tell me to empty my savings account. But he didn't. He said, "Tell them to do it." So I called Deborah in my office, and I said, "Deborah, I need 10 names from 10 tithers who are responsible with money." Gave them $100. $500 from the Jerusalem Fund, $500 from the General Fund, and 10 people did the exact same thing that I did. Gary, come tell us what happened.
he said without crying, oh, he knows me. I got a heart big as Texas, and it breaks easy. But he said for us to give 3 minutes, just 3 minutes. Is that by your watch, or if it is, let me hold it.
Three.
Anyway, I done wasted, 30 seconds here. Left here Sunday, my wife said, what preacher want from Joel? Well, I can't tell you. So went on down the street, get out, bite to eat. Well, what do you want? I said, I can't tell you. Okay. So, you know what? We just said what we had to do. So I get up Monday morning, going to work, and I thought about where I was going to go throughout my day. I was going to go maybe to the hospital, maybe to the Ronald McDonald House. Where I'm going to go here. And wound up going nowhere. So Tuesday I get up, I get ready to go to work. Same thing, I was thinking, where am I going to go? And it dawned on me, when my wife done the noonday ministry with some of you other members here, took her about 3 or 4 months to find the right person. And one reason was a lot of folks, including her, they was looking for who they wanted to give the money to, not really who God was wanted to put in their place. So I said, God, please lead me to somebody. Open my eyes and my ears this week that I can be the person that needs this money and needs to hear that you love them. Please help me. So I wound up at the mall Tuesday about 11:30, excuse me. And as I turned to go in the back of the mall, I sort of looked for traffic. The bus stopped down, and my eyes was drawn on an elderly black lady with a handicapped stroller. And she had on a beige sweater, short white hair, and I don't know why, but she was a good ways away, and I saw her, and I heard God say, go see her. Well, I'm already pulled into the back of the mall where I was going to go, so I said, okay, let me run in here right quick, and I'll go see her when I come out. So I come out, and I drive back around to the bus stop. Well, it's a ghost town. Nobody's there. So it was around lunchtime. My wife works over there. I called. I say, you got time for lunch? Yeah. She went to lunch with me, graciously let me pay for it. And so I leave, and I was coming home, and 99% of the time when I get to Georgetown, I cut through Georgetown to come home, but for some reason my truck just kept going straight before I realized it. I had guilt like I can't explain because I missed my opportunity. So I get down here to Walmart, sitting at the light. I had all kind of phone calls to make. I had quotes to do. It was 2:30. Everybody I deal with is usually done by 4:30 or 5. My day was just piled up. Something says, turn in here. That's okay. God says, put yourself aside. Listen to me. Okay? So I turned in Walmart, and I said, I'm going to go in Walmart. From his story, I'm going to walk around. I'm going to find somebody in Walmart. So I get to the four-way intersection, Wendy's, Murphy. Y'all know where it's at. There's three stop signs, slow. So I slowed down to going into Walmart. I looked to the left. A bus had just left. The lady that I seen at Oglethorpe Mall had just stepped off that bus. And she was going to exchange buses. So she went from one side to the other. And so I turn around. I went by, and I'm riding by real slow, and I'm looking. And she's looking at me, and there's three other ladies with her, and they was two. And something told me that you can't get out right now because there was two guys standing there that looked like, forgive me, but thugs, okay? I said, I can't give this lady this $100 bill in front of them two guys. They get on a bus with her. She goes across town, gets off. You know, it all stuff went through my mind, so I pulled around to the side. I'm thinking, I got thank you notes in my truck from writing to my customers, and they buy something from me. So I get out and I get in the back. I can't find them nowhere. I want an envelope to put the money in the hand. That's where I'm going with. So I get back in the car or truck, and I'm looking. I said, She's going to be gone again. And so I opened my day planner, and there, one thank you note was sitting in there for me. I took the card out, tossed it, I don't know where it went, put the money in there, wrote Jesus love me. I fly back around there, slam on brakes, put my flashers on, put it in park, jump out, run up there to her. I said, ma'am, I said, can I ask you something? She said, what? I said, well, you were just over the mall. She said, yes. No, I wasn't. Yeah, no, what? I said, yeah, what? I said, well, would you? And I realized I had startled her. And not only had I scared her, but them two guys that were there, they was gone, man. I don't know if they thought I was the law or just another crazy cracker on crack or what. But, Momo, that ain't funny. But anyway, they took off. So I said, God sent me here at this point in time to tell you that he loves you and to give you this. And just as soon as I said it, the lady sitting beside her jumped up and started screaming and praising God. She says, sir, I just got out of my mouth. She says, sister, she looked at her, I just told you God was going to bless you and help you out with your situation. I just got the words out of my mouth, and you pull up here in the middle of the street and jump out of your car and run over here. And they was just, and I'm standing there, and they said, thank God. Don't thank me. I said, thank God. So I get in my truck and leave. I'm looking in the mirror, and this old lady had got up, and she's watching me going down the street as far as she could watch. She hadn't opened an envelope yet. Brother Kyle wanted to know what would we learn from this situation. Here's what I learned. People are struggling still. I know it, but anyway, I learned that people struggle. They need to know more about God than what's in that envelope, which was that $100. It ain't the money. I'm sure she could use it. The other thing I learned, when God asks me to do something or calls on us something, act on it immediately. Take his lead and let him lead you and go ahead and take care of it. Don't miss the opportunity. I can tell you, I was sick from the Overfoot Mall to Walmart down in here. But we serve awesome God, and I appreciate you putting this challenge to us and letting me see God work.
Angela. Gary, that was a good 3 minutes there, brother. Angela, three minutes.
Bailey told me I shouldn't be nervous because I teach in front of children all the time, but they're little. So I did write mine down. When Brother Kyle told us he was giving us $100 to give to someone to let them know Jesus loves them, immediately one of my students popped into my head. The week before, we were discussing wants and needs, and she made the comment that she wanted a Christmas tree. I thought her family would be the one to get the money to. I knew there were probably logistics with the school, so I told Bill and Brother Kyle that I would pray and then talk to my principal, and if it all worked out, her family would be the one God wanted me to get the money to. Well, Monday morning, the little girl came in, and I asked her, did they get a tree this weekend? And she so excitedly told me yes. I was very happy for her, but also knew they weren't the ones. I prayed again, asking God to show me who I needed to give the money to. You always think if you have money to give to people, it would be easy, especially this time of year, but it really isn't. I went to the grocery store Monday and Tuesday, no one. I went to Walmart Wednesday, no one. I was still praying and had even asked my prayer group at school to pray that I would pay attention and that God would show me who I was to give the money to. Thursday, I drove to Statesboro for an errand, and still no one. I wasn't worried at this point, but started to wonder, had I missed the one God had shown me? So I prayed some more. On Friday night, Bill and I went to town and out to eat. We went to places purposefully looking for people that God might have me give. We went to the gas station, parking lot of the grocery store, Walmart, a restaurant, the mall, and Toys R Us. I was telling Bill as we were driving up to Toys R Us that as I was looking around for someone, I was kind of looking at what they were wearing or what was in their buggy, because in my mind, I felt that if they were dressed nice or had a buggy full of stuff, maybe they wouldn't really need the money or the help. Then God hit me and said, you've been praying for me to show you someone, and yet you've been basically putting limitations on them by seeing if they outwardly needed it. God revealed to me that this might be not be for someone's monetary need. This money might be for someone's heart need instead. This whole week I felt I was truly sincere in asking God to show me who, but then missed the point while I was looking by adding my own requirements. God reminded me that the instructions were to find someone and tell them Merry Christmas, Jesus loves you, not find someone I felt needed the help. So Friday night and Saturday morning, as I was praying again, I asked God to show me through his eyes and not mine who I was to give the money to. I left for my normal Saturday morning grocery store run and prayed as I went that I would be more attentive to God's voice and not the outward appearance of people. As I was in the grocery store, there were two ladies that kept passing me, and I was asking God, were these the ladies? But I still didn't feel God telling me I was to give the money to them. When I went to my car to put the groceries in, there was an elderly lady across from my car. I watched her looking carefully into the back seat of her car, then the front seat, and moving very slowly. I felt God say, this is her. I rushed to put my groceries in the car and put the cart up, praying she would still be there when I got done. I turned back, and she was still there. I went to her with the money folded and just told her God was telling me to give this to her, and I hope she had a Merry Christmas. She just looked at me a little stunned and then started saying over and over again, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She reached over and gave me a hug, and I just told her again, Merry Christmas. I got in my car and just started to tear up, knowing that she was who God sent for me. I'm not sure if she needed the money, but God knows. I don't know if she's the one who needed the blessing or if it's someone close to her that she will tell, but God knows. I do know, though, when God has given us a task to do, he knows how it is to be executed. And if we follow him to do the job and not put our own thoughts into it, it will turn out right.
That was one page. That must have been like three font. Maggie?
So as soon as he told us about the challenge, Psalm 46:10 popped to my head. Be still and know that I am God. I know during Christmas time it's so hard to be still. Even when we have the best intentions, we're busy and running around with our, like a chicken with our heads cut off, just trying to get all the things done. And so I was like, okay, I just want to be still and know that he's in control. So I was excited and nervous at the same time. I'm nervous talking in front of people and to people I don't know very well. I even went so far to think, I'm just going to give it to one of my teacher friends at school who's going through some things, and I can just put it in her mailbox, and I won't have to talk to anybody. And I was like, no, that's me. That's not God telling me to do that. It's me wanting to make it easy for myself. So I went to Dollar General and Walmart and grocery stores, and all throughout the weekend, I never really felt anything from God. I was nervous the whole time. Like, ooh, what if I have to speak to somebody? Just nervous. And so Saturday morning, I went to the mall in Pooler, and I needed, again, to buy something for someone for Christmas shopping. And I had noticed people around me, but hadn't really seen anyone. And so I was checking out at the store, and the verse popped in my head again, just be still. Know that I'm God. And stop searching for someone, and just look around you. Just look at these people. And so I was in line, I kind of did a glance around the store, and again, I saw this lady who I'd seen several times in passing, an older woman who had probably a 10-year-old little boy with her. It was a grandmother-type figure, but I could tell she was more the guardian, not just a grandmother out having fun one weekend. And so the nerves stopped automatically. I wasn't nervous. I was like, this is her. And so I got my money out, and when I finished paying for my items, I turned around and she wasn't there. I was like, where'd she go? And so I kind of wandered through the store, and I saw her, and I stopped her, and I said, I just want you to know God loves you, and he wants me to give you this. And I just kind of put the money up, and she took it from me and looked very shocked and said thank you, and I walked out. So it was really the only interaction I had with her. It wasn't a hug. It wasn't a dialogue, a conversation. But as I walked out, I knew it kind of dawned on me that as a Christian, you know God's purpose for you. You know what you're always supposed to be doing. And I always pray, God, show me someone. But in my inner dialogue, I'm constantly saying, I'm listening to you, God, I'm listening. I hear you. But I'm not listening. I'm so busy telling myself to listen that I'm not actually listening to what he has for me. So I pray that during this season that you really just meditate on that verse. Just be still and know that God is in control.
Desi.
of the things I learned this week was God has a sense of humor, and he will take you out of your way to get done what he wants to do. Like the others, I thought I knew where God wanted me to go. I passed this lady on the corner lots of times and felt like I should be helping her. So I rode right up there. She wasn't there. But I had to wait on one of those big green city buses to go past. And God said, see the bus? Follow the bus. So I followed the bus. Well, the bus turned. The bus driver left. He went into the restaurant, and it wasn't him. So I went home. And then I had errands to run, and I was in Garden City, and there was another green bus. And I followed the bus. And it didn't lead anywhere. And then on Friday, I was going out to visit, and I went into the hospital parking lot at St. Joseph's, and I looked around. There were St. Joseph's signs everywhere, and there was a bus pulling out, and I thought, well, okay, maybe this is the one. And so I followed the bus. Nothing. And I was getting anxious, desperate, woke up. Well, not woke up, got up Saturday morning because I didn't sleep late. I was so afraid I wouldn't find anybody, afraid I wouldn't find anybody. And I got down on my knees and I said, God, open my heart, take me out and put you in and let your will be done. So I had errands to run. I went out, nothing. And I was at the last place I intended to go. At the CVS, went to pick up a newspaper, and I walked out and had my head down because I was reading on the newspaper. Got out near my car, and God said, look up, you're missing it. Across the street in a parking lot was a man wearing a green shirt, the same color as the buses. And God said, hurry up, he's getting away. So I got in my car and I took off, and he's walking down the road. And I drove up real close to him and rolled my window down, and he kind of backed up. And I said, God told me to give you something. And he goes, I didn't do it. And so I said, no, you didn't do it. God did. And I put my hand out, and he kind of leaned back and put his hand out, and I dropped the money in it. And I said, Jesus told me to give you this. Merry Christmas. And I drove on down the road. But I looked in the mirror because I was curious. And the man had dropped to his knees, and he was praying. And I learned two things. God will put you where he wants you. And God will send you with the tools you need. And he's been worrying me about that lady, and I went back, and he said, now open your pocketbook, it's your turn.
Karen Carter.
Brother Kyle can tell you, I started from day one panicking because I was like, a week is not long enough for this, you know. And he's like, just pray about it, pray about it. I said, I'm praying about it. So got to be Wednesday, and I told Steve, I said, you know, I don't know. And I told Brother Kyle, I said, you know where I spend 80% of my time. I'm not exactly around people with monetary needs, you know. And I said, I just don't know how I'm going to do this. It's definitely going to have to be a God thing. And so it got to be Wednesday, and I'm like, Lord, I don't want to go to church because I know that bald-headed man's going to come up and ask me, you know, have I done this? You know, sure enough, he did. And I'm like, no, just leave me alone. Don't bother me about it. I'm praying about it, you know. And so anyway, I was like, you know, I just don't know, you know. And so I was on my way to work Thursday morning. And I don't know if any of y'all listen to 98.7, the Make-A-Wish stories. On. Y'all know what we've gone through with Pat and what Pat has been through for the past 2 years. Miss Margaret and Dr. Petrozelli is a team that Pat uses, and she was a godsend to us while Pat was going through all of this. And she is a cancer navigator at the Anderson Cancer Institute. And so Pat would call her, we could call her, any questions, she said, day or night, whenever you need me, I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you call me. She just has a heart of compassion, a heart of gold. There's no doubt God has her where she is. And so going to work, story comes on, I'm like 7:30 in my car. It's Miss Margaret had wrote a letter, and I'm going to read y'all the letter. And I knew this was God because it's so close to what Pat has gone through and what we're still going through. And I don't think the monetary need is there, but I think God used this because I think Nick needs to hear encouragement from somebody who's gone through it. So this is the story of Nick, and this is from Miss Margaret. This is, dear Mark and Augie Rifford listeners, my name is Margaret, and I am a nurse navigator with the Curtis and Elizabeth Cancer Institute at Memorial Hospital. I am writing to share with you the story of a young man and his new family dealing with the reoccurrence of cancer in his throat. Nick is now 38 years old and has been in love with his wife for 15 years. 2 years ago, when the day came to hear the heartbeat of their first child, they were elated. Unfortunately, that day also came with other news, and that was a cancer diagnosis for Nick. He was diagnosed with a throat cancer after multiple visits to the ENT and losing his voice. There were two biopsies done, leaving them with the news that the cancer was deep in his vocal cords and would require radiation and chemotherapy for the best treatment options. They were able to get the treatment started quickly, but after the first round of chemo, they could tell they were in for a long 7 weeks. Chemotherapy made him so sick and tired, but he continued to have to get up and go for daily radiation treatments. Chemo started to make food taste funny, and radiation later took the taste of it all away altogether. Treatments changed the way his salivary glands worked, so he lost about 40 pounds and became dehydrated. The doctor began to notice some hearing loss as a result of the chemotherapy, so the dose was reduced, hoping to help. He was only 36 at this time, and their first child was on the way. The last 2 weeks got worse as swallowing became impossible. Nick had to start getting fluids every day to keep him hydrated, but that was still not enough. He had to be admitted for 4 days to the hospital. He was sent home with a feeding tube for nutrition. For his wife, it was terrifying to manage his feeding and flush his port. She feared her lack of experience would cause more complications, but after a few calls to a nurse, she became a pro. Halfway through the treatments, they found out they were having a girl. Nick wanted a girl so badly, and his wife told me she believed that's the only thing that got him through this. Their baby girl was born 2 months later. Jumping ahead 2 years, Nick is now 38, starting to have this weird pain in his neck that went to his ear. After a CT scan and a visit to his oncologist, there was another biopsy that became positive again for the cancer. He faced a reoccurrence of his head and neck cancer and scarier times ahead. Nick went into surgery not knowing how much of his voice box would be impaired. 3 weeks out from surgery, we found out that there's a good chance that a small amount of cancer is still there by the artery that they were unable to take out. Nick will have to go through chemo and radiation again in hopes of killing it this time. He is left with a total laryngectomy. The family's wish for the holiday season is to help purchase his equipment so they can hear his voice and he can hear his daughter's laughter. Their little Alice is such a blessing to them, and every day she makes them smile even when they face bad days. They know this puts a hold on growing their family, but they still hope there will be time. Any blessings for this young family would be greatly appreciated. Thank you, Margaret Brown, Nurse Navigator. So, I was like, that's it, that's him. You know, and so I picked up the phone and I called Pat. And I said, Pat, I thought I had Miss Margaret's number, but I don't have it. Can you give it to me? I said, I need to call her. So I called her, and she got in touch with her. And she was just, I told her, I said, you know, I've been praying. We had this mission project. I've been looking for someone that needed it. And I said, this is so close to Pat, and I said, and we know it's only through God's grace. I said, but I want to sit down and write a letter of encouragement to Nick and his family to let them know, just because it's the second time, God's still in control. He can still heal, not to give up. So she said, Karen, that would be so great. And so I said, I want to sit down and write a letter of what we've gone through and what Pat's gone through. And so I did that Friday morning. That was Thursday afternoon. I got a hold of Margaret. So I said, I'm off on Friday. I said, I want to bring a gift by to help out. So I took the $100, and Steve and I put some in with it, because not from the monetary standpoint, but from a heart of thankfulness. Because my family knows, if it wasn't for God, this could be us. And as I sat down and wrote this letter Friday, I said, as I'm writing you right now, my sister is there having a PET scan done. I said, we will be back in there on Monday at 8 o'clock. And I told him, I said, in the letter, I went through everything that she has gone through. And I said, I hope you have a church family, and I hope you know the Lord. I said, because that's what's got us through. I said, you need a prayer support team. And I said, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church will be praying for you. And his name is Nick Strickland. So if we can put him on our prayer list and just pray for this family, that it will be for healing for him and for strength for them.
Sister Sue.
Hey, Brother Kyle came to me Sunday night with this project to do, this mission project, and when he told me about it, I was really excited about it, but yet I was nervous and I was scared. And so the first thing that I did was I prayed about it, and asked the Lord to help me and asked the Lord to show me who would be the right one, who would be the one that had the need. And of course, so then I went to work, and throughout the week I did like a lot of other people. I went different places. Even on my lunch break, I would ride around and I would go to different places and I would look. I went to Walmart, two different Walmarts. I went to Dollar General, and there again I was asking the Lord to show me, and maybe was trying to look for a certain type person. And that's when the Lord told me, everybody needs the Lord. And and one thing I learned through this is that I just never had done anything like this before, and I never had approached anybody like this. So you know, the Lord showed me while I was looking that in the busyness of life and the things that I do, you know, I got to go to work, I got to get this done, I got to stop by here, I got to go home and get this done, that I never really a lot of times take time to look up and look at people and notice people and see that people are hurting and that they do need, and they do have a need, and I do take the time to approach people. So anyway, and I, you know, I kept praying, and I'd go to different places, and I'd go in, and I'd have a buggy, and I'd go around, but wouldn't get anything. And sometimes I felt like people were looking at me, like, you know, and people were watching me, and I just kept walking through, and I'd look at different people, you know, as Lord, is this the one? So anyway, and you know, a lot of people, I said, well, maybe that's the one. And of course, then Wednesday night, Brother Kyle asked me, and I said, no, I hadn't done anything, but I'm looking. And I think just about every evening I went through and somewhere, and of course I hadn't done anything, and here comes Saturday morning, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to Walmart here on 17. And of course I kept thinking about going to the toy department, and you know, people are trying to buy things for their children or grandchildren or whoever, and maybe, you know, there would be somebody there. I mean, I kept feeling led that there would be somebody there that would have a need that I could help. And so I went in there in the Walmart yesterday morning, first thing, and I was walking around, and I got over to the toy department, and there was this lady there, and she had a few things in her buggy, and I said, well, this is the one. And I felt like this was the one, and I went up to the lady, and I said, hey, how are you? And she said, I'm doing okay. And then I told her, I said, well, I just, reason I come to you, I feel like the Lord wanted me to give this to you, that maybe this would help you during this time. And and I handed her the envelope, and I said, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and just let you know that that Jesus loves you. And she said, oh, thank you very much. And then again, I said, I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And I gave her a hug, and she said, and Jesus loves you. And she walked off. I walked off. Of course, y'all can tell I'm very nervous. This is, I hadn't, done anything like this before. But, and I know in times past when this was done, this helped me to know that, you know, I wasn't in my comfort zone, and I need to get out of my comfort zone. I mean, and just approach people and not be afraid to do that, and to be an example and to let Jesus be known to people, and at all times, not just at Christmas time, but all the time. And in one scripture verse that's been on my mind, we studied in Sunday school last quarter the book of Exodus, and in Leviticus, and one of the scriptures, even though the scripture is in the New Testament, it's 1 Peter 2:9-10. It says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And what this is saying is that we are to be like priests. We are to proclaim God's message to all people. And you know, when it says that before I became a Christian, I was once in darkness. I was not a person of God. I was not a child of God. And I had not obtained mercy because I had never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. And I am now only through his grace and mercy. And I just need to share that same message with other people. And thank you.
We're just about done. Y'all settle down. Isn't this good? Samantha Finley. We had to use a youth, right? We had to use a youth.
So I actually wasn't here last Sunday because I was sick. So my mom was actually the person who ended up giving me the money. And when I had gotten it, I had come to pick her up from church because we only have one car, so I had to come from my house to come get her. She ended up staying, even though I came to pick her up, but she handed me the money while I was there. And she said, Brother Kyle gave you this challenge. So I took the money. As soon as I got home, I prayed about it because I didn't want to give someone the money through myself. I wanted it to be all through him. So if I'm honest, I forgotten about it until like Tuesday, and I had remembered, and I was like, I need to give this money away, but I don't want it to be through me. Wednesday night, Brother Kyle asked me if I'd given it away yet. I had said no, because I had not. And then Thursday, I had gone to Walmart, I had walked around, and I didn't see anybody, I didn't feel anybody, I didn't feel anything. So Saturday morning comes, I had gone to Walmart again. Actually, first I had gone to Kroger, and I didn't see anybody there, didn't feel anything there. So I went to Walmart. My mom left me to go look at, like, some clothes or something. And so I walked around Walmart 5 times, and I still had not felt anything, seen anybody that, like, piqued an interest or anything. So I was a little disappointed. I thought, like, I was stopping myself from giving it to somebody. So I went home, and I prayed again. And I was like, well, maybe at Hannah's birthday party, I will see someone at the restaurant that I can pay for their part of their meal or just hand the money to. I did not see anyone there either. So we were on the way home, and we had to stop because Mr. Ricky, Granddaddy, his tire had blew, and so we had to stop by and help him fix his tire. He had parked near Walgreens on Abercorn, and when I saw Walgreens, I was like, I need to go in there. So I went in, and I was walking around, and I saw a few people, and the store was empty for the most part, but I'd seen a few people, and they weren't the ones. But then I saw this elderly black woman, and when I saw her, I just kind of walked by, and then my heart was just telling me, go to her, go to her, go to her. So I went to her, I walked up, and I was like, ma'am, and she turned around because she was walking away, and I was like, Merry Christmas, and I just was handing it to her, and she looked at me like, okay, you're a teenager giving me $100, what are you doing? And she just kind of looked like she was trying to give it back to me. So I was like, no, take it, really, I'm giving this to you. And she was like, what is all this for? And I was like, God wanted me to give this to you, Merry Christmas. And so she was like, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. And then she gave me a hug, and then I walked away because, you know, I was really nervous. I don't ever talk to anybody like that. So I walked away, but all throughout the store, you could hear her saying it over and over and over, like super loud. And like through all of this, I learned that I need to get out of my comfort zone more, or I'm never going to do what God wants me to do, which is share his gospel.
Mikey T.
When I got called in Sunday morning to see the preacher, the first thing I sat up there and looked and said, oh man, what did I do now? I said, I've been up here. I know when the praise team's up here or the choir, I start to get a little groove going. I said, well, maybe he's telling me I need to calm down because I'm probably distracting everybody. I said, well, and all of a sudden he gives us this challenge. So I walk out. Next thing you know, I get asked, what was that all about? I said, no, nothing. Don't worry about it. We're okay. And then I finally sat there and told Kim, I said, you know the challenge that you had a while back that you had to go search? I said, well, part two. But this time it's me. I said, oh, great. Me. So I sat and, you know, I was thinking. And I was praying. And you know, me, Mike, Bill, we work for a shipping company. On a daily basis, we go by on these ships and we meet people from all around the world. You know, and you're sitting there, you know. But last week wasn't a busy week. I didn't get called to go on a ship. So I'm sitting there like, man, that blows my plan. So, me and Bill go to lunch, and I told Bill, I said, Bill, I'm just struggling, I'm trying to find the right family or right person to do. And I said, I just got it in the back of my mind that I'm searching for a military family. And Bill goes, just pray about it. Just pray and pray and pray. Things will come around. So, Thursday night, Kim tells me, Brittany's coming home. She's finished. I said, all right, well, we're going to go ahead and get the tree up. So me and Cameron, well, Cameron, backtrack. Cameron gets everything down. We get the tree up. And then she goes, you going to put the lights on the tree now? I said, I'm just too tired. I'll do it tomorrow. So Friday night comes around. Start stringing up the lights. I said, Cameron, plug in the lights. Let's see how this works. Let's see how it works. Oh, the set's good. Put it on the tree. So here we are, thinking Charlie Brown, man, half the tree's lit, half the bottom lit. And I said, well, I got to go get tree. I got to go get lights. And I said, well, it's home. It's 10 o'clock. I ain't going to Walmart at 10 o'clock at night. So I'm still thinking, I've got to find someone. I said, because I really don't want to come up here Sunday and say, hey, I still got $100. So I get up, and for some unforeseen reason, my son is up at 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning. No hunting, no baseball. It's just me, him, and his mom. So I said, well, come on, Cameron, let's get up. I need to go get some more Christmas lights to finish this tree because I want to get Christmas decorated. I mean, it's almost like going through a reconstruction zone at our house because you know how Kim does the church here. Well, our house is about the same way. So here I am. I'm in just in regular sweatpants, a hoodie, sweatshirt. I got my son with me. We're walking along, and next thing you know, I said, son, we need to go get 6 boxes of lights because Kim says it's a 9-foot tree. It's got to have 900 lights. All right. I'm just glad we got a roof over our head because now we ain't got to worry about any satellites picking up what we're doing. So we're going in, and, you know, you just, like you say, you go to Walmart, and you start scanning. And you're looking, and you're looking, and you're looking. Man, who, Lord, who do I need to pass this along to? So me and Cameron go back to the garden shop area where all the Christmas decorations are. And I say, Cameron, this is what we need to do. I said, I need to get more lights, and we still got to decorate the other side of our house. You know, because, you know, we're the Griswolds of the neighborhood, hopefully. So we're standing there, and next thing you know, there were some people in line. And I said, so I finally turned around and looked at Cameron and said, son, I've been given this challenge. I've got to find a family or someone that I can go up to and speak. So if you see me pull out my wallet and take money out, don't go tell mom. I'm saying, don't go tell mom I'm doing this because you're going to, did you know dad and so-and-so? I said, well, so he goes, okay. So I've kind of made it like a learning experience also, Brother Kyle, because I wanted my young son see the joy and the struggle, you know, of trying to find that right gift. And I started thinking, the Lord has found me a military family. Because I sit here and I thought, when I was born, my dad was in Vietnam. And I started thinking, I said, you know, everybody in this church is linked to a military family. The struggles that the mothers have to go through, or the father, whenever their soldier has been deployed. So I said, well, Lord, thank you. So all of a sudden, I just, you know, I look up, started walking, and I see this young military family. I said, God, thank you. You know, I'm sitting there going, yeah. So Cameron was pulling the buggy along with me. And I walked in, and family's coming. A young soldier. Cute little blonde-haired girl. She's pretty. And his wife, she was expecting. I said, sir, I want to ask you one thing. He said, yes. I said, are you military? He said, yes, sir, I am. I said, well, you're the man I want to talk to. Steps back and looks at me. I said, hold on. I said, this is a good thing. I said, I am from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and I want to give you a blessing. I said, I just want to say thank you for all your hard work, your service, your loyalty, because I know, and sometimes you have to be separated from your family. I said, this is hard. I said, I just want to let you know I have a $100 bill. And, you know, just like everybody else, when you pull your wallet out and you're giving somebody something, you know, like, hey, you know, whoa. I'm like, nope, this is for real. This is for real. I said, my God, my Jesus loves you. I love you. I just want to thank you for everything you've done. I want to thank everybody. The sacrifices that you have to put up with, ma'am. And I said, I just want to give you this $100 bill and say thank you. And God bless you. God loves you. And, you know, you sit there and you look. When people got that stunned look on your face. And I'm like, you know, I don't necessarily, you know, I'm usually getting up here, I'm being a clown. And I said, this has been the most serious part of my life, pretty much other than the day I asked my wife to marry me. And getting a blessing from a poppy saying, sure, do you want the $10,000 to get away? Or your, you said, no, I'm going to take her because she's a pretty cool chick. But it's just a feeling when you're sitting there and you're giving somebody a blessing and you're seeing a grown soldier, a military man, eyes tearing up, and his wife is just breaking down crying and just saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I said, God bless you. It's just the most heartwarming feeling in the world to know that you are doing something to bless somebody's life. And thank you, Brother Kyle, for giving me that challenge. And I'm just hoping that if you ever put up with that challenge, that y'all take it and run with it. Because it's like everybody said up here. After it's done, it's the most awesomest feeling in the world.
Last one, and y'all can go eat. Dale Teeter.
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that God sometimes tells me things in my dreams, which I don't know if he ever talked to you that way or not, but he shows me a lot of things in my dreams. I had started dreaming about giving money away to people in such a hard time as the world's going through now, and as Alan and I are so blessed, and you know, it just doesn't seem fair sometimes that people are struggling when other people are succeeding. I have a hard time listening to God. I always want to do it my way. I always want to do things that I think is right. I want to do things that make people happy, because that makes me happy. But when Brother Kyle asked me to do this, I said, Lord, this is up to you, not me. And I gotta listen to you. And you know, I'm not really good at that. So I said, you're gonna have to make the situation be from you where we were led, and from you to who this goes to. Well, I went home Sunday, and I don't think I've ever prayed as hard, because I didn't want to disappoint God, and I definitely didn't want to disappoint my family here. So I prayed hard and prayed hard and prayed hard. And then Monday morning we got up. Alan had to have a procedure. And God put a screw in our tire. Alan came in and said, Dale, we can't drive the truck. And I said, why? And he said, there's a screw in the tire. And I said, well, let's go get it fixed. Well, we went to one tire place, and that place said it was going to take over 2 hours. And I said, no, because Alan's got to go to this procedure, and we can't wait that long. Well, God sent us down the road a little bit more. And this gentleman at this tire place said, sure, I'll get right on it. So it didn't take him long. He, I think it's called plugging the tire or whatever. And then we left from there, and Alan says, you know, we ain't got time enough to go get lunch, and I can't have anything after lunch until all this procedure's gone, and I'm starving. And he said, well, let's go right across the road to Bojangles. So we walked into Bojangles. Bojangles, yeah. And by the way, that's not my favorite place either, but we walked into Bojangles and we ordered, and this sweet young lady, she was very attractive, took our order. So we got our food and we sat down. And then we noticed that this little girl was all by herself. She had a to-go plate or little box thing, you know, that they give out chicken in. And she had a piece of chicken and a few fries. And she had, her mom's phone. Or she was just playing on a phone. I take it it was her mom's. And then I kept noticing this little girl just sitting there staring at me. And, you know, we'd do this little thing, and she'd do it back, and I'd wink, and she'd do it back, and we'd done this for a little while, and then I would see her mom come, the lady that waited on me, come and check on her and make sure that she was okay, and a couple of times she got her phone stuck, so her mama got it undone and back to what she was playing, and I told Alan, I said, Alan, go to the truck, and he said, what for? I said, there's $100 bill above the driver's seat in the visor. I need you to bring it to me. Alan's used to me saying crazy things, so it doesn't bother him a bit to go to the truck. And I just knew he was going to come back, because he always does and says, I didn't see it. But he didn't. He got it, and he brought it to me, and he says, where did you get this from? I said, from the church. And he said, Dale, you took it from the church? I said, no, I didn't take it from the church. It was given to me by Brother Kyle. And he says, oh, that thing you were called for? I said, yeah, that's what all this is about. I said, God has led us here by putting a screw in our tire. The first tire place couldn't fix it. The second tire place said, okay, we didn't have time for lunch. So we went to Bojangles, and this lady just impressed me, or just so much by knowing that she was in need, because Bojangles don't pay much. She's got a little girl. The little girl is sitting there very patiently, waiting on her mom being so good, and her coming back and forth checking on her. And this is it. This lady, this is where I need to put it. And thank goodness he didn't wait till Saturday to do this, because I'd have been a nervous wreck. So I waited in line, and her boss came up to behind the counter and says, ma'am, can I help you? You're next in line. And I said, no, sir. And he says, excuse me? And I said, no, sir. I want to wait and talk to that lady right there. And she was waiting on a customer. So when that customer left, I went up there and I told her, I said, I hope that you know that God loves you so much. And he has told me to give you this, which I didn't tell her what it was, and for you to have a Merry Christmas. Well, we were told not to kind of stand around or look back or anything, but, you know, human takes over sometimes. And I started walking away, and I don't get away very fast, but I heard the gentleman, her boss, ask her what that was all about. And she said, I don't know. So she opened her hand that I had given her, and she started crying. And it seemed like the whole crew came to see what was going on. She turned around and she looked and she started crying. And her boss said, well, what happened? What's going on? And she said, Jesus just gave me $100. And the feeling that I had as I was walking down that door is one that I can never replace. But I can promise you one thing. It hasn't been the first time, and it definitely won't be the last. Thank you.
What do you need for Christmas? What do your children need? Your uncle, your aunt, what do they need? Christmas is all about, we are called to make him known and make his name great amongst the nations. The Holy Spirit put this on my heart, me first. And then he told me to do what I did with these 10 people. But it's not over. Now it's your turn. If you want to make his name great this Christmas and experience what Christmas is all about, it doesn't cost you anything because it's not yours anyway. It's all his. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. Dan? Amen. So right now, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. Do you want to make the name of Jesus known this Christmas? It's all about Jesus. Amen? With all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Music is going to play here in a second, right after I pray. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we say that so easily with our mouths, God, but we so seldom demonstrate it with our actions. God, you've given us a reason and a purpose and a way, Lord, that we can demonstrate this. Help us, Lord, to demonstrate your love to this world. It doesn't have to be money. It can be with anything, Lord. It can be with actions. It can be with a cup of coffee. It can be with, just help us, Lord. Help us to see. Lord, help your people to fall back in love with you during this time of year that we call your birthday. Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way during this invitation. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come? This altar is open for you. Will you come?